This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My brothers, my sisters, parents play a big role in the habits that are developed by their children. وَيَنْشَأُ نَاشِئُ الْفِتْيَانِ مِنَّا أَوْ فِينَا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَوَّدَهُ أَبُوهُ. A young person who is growing up develops the habits that his father has inculcated in him, that which his father got him used to. This happens in most cases, especially where the father is playing a role in the lives of the children. So these habits from a very young age, you won't pick it up, your child might not pick it up, but people around will say, you're just like your father. People will say, the way you speak, you sound like your father. Or in the case of the absence of the father for one reason or another, that child will pick up the habits of those whom the child grew up around. So if you have your mother sometimes, you might have a brother who's a little bit older, or a relative, an uncle, an aunt, someone. And thereafter, what would happen is, as you choose the schools for the children begin to pick up dialect, accents, words, be they good words or bad words, from the schools because of interaction. This is why Islam has given utmost importance to the issue of company. Make sure from a young age, when you have the ability to choose where your child should be and whom the child will interact with, you ensure you've placed them in the custodianship or the guardianship, the mentorship, the tutelage of someone who you are proud of in their ways and habits and so on. Because your child will pick up what it has witnessed at the schools or the madrasas, the colleges, etc. Sometimes it's even the neighborhood. In our cases, where we frequent the masjids with our children, it's even the masjid. So these habits die hard once the child grows older with bad habits. They say old habits die hard. You know, you have a habit since you were young. What happened? I'm now old. I still have the same habit that I had when I was a teenager. Why? Because that's how it is. We are built by Allah, created by Allah in a very sophisticated way. So beautiful that when you get yourself used to something, it becomes second nature. Therefore, my brothers, my sisters, yes, I might have started speaking about children, but surely isn't it important for us as adults to ensure that we break bad habits? To break a bad habit, an effort is required. That effort requires great dedication. You must break it for your own sake and for the sake of those around you. They will build those habits. Imagine the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, the bad that people have picked up from you, you earn a sin for it throughout the generations until the day of judgment. Why should I let something bad come from me? Today we have the F word, for example. Take it out of your system. You find a man or a woman generally religious, but they are swearing. They have bad words. It doesn't suit you. Never mind you. People are going to pick it up from you, those around you. Sometimes those you interact with, even at work or anywhere else, that's your circle. They will pick up the bad from you. These habits, they are not necessary. Develop a good habit. If you notice someone else brushing off on you, the way they talk, the actions of their hands, perhaps the way they insult or perhaps praise others, you pick up these habits. If you pick them up, surely you should be bothered about what you are beaming to others. My brothers, my sisters, from a young age, I speak to the youth. Develop good habits. Push yourself to do good things. Make sure, no matter what the adults around you are doing, do the right thing. Be polite with your words. Because every word you utter is going to play a big role in shaping the future of your whole life. You are 20, you are 18, you might be 14, 15. You have a life ahead of you by the will of Allah, if Allah wants. There was a brother I met not too long ago. He told me, do you know when we were young, we got married. He says he got married at the age of 25. He says, I still remember clearly when I clocked 50 and I said, I've been married for as long as I was not married. He says, now I'm 75. I've been married for double the amount of years. Imagine, double the amount of years. That means that Allah has blessed you with your children and so much more. You witness them getting married, which means you are already in a marriage longer than you were single. What happened? Do you really think that Allah has kept an age for you to get married at, which is so perfect? The age of majority, the age once you can and you are able. Ya ma'shara al-shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses the youth, whoever is able and capable in every single way. You are able financially, you are able physically, you are able emotionally, you are ready to get married, falyatazawwaj, get married. So that's the age. What is that age? Anywhere between, I would say nowadays, between 18, 25, perhaps up to 30, for example, you need to look, you need to make sure you make an effort. Why that age? Because by that time, you are supposed to have matured. You come out of your adolescent years. You are settled a little bit. Your habits are developed. You are ready to receive a gift of Allah known as a child. You are now going to become a parent. If that was not the case, you would have had kids at the age of 10 also. 12 also. Subhanallah. But Allah Almighty knows how He's made us. He wants us to develop first so that the responsibility is not only felt but fulfilled. My brothers and sisters, now I get to us as adults. All of us have habits that we need to work on and eradicate that are negative without exception. You might not know what your bad habits are, but they are there. Some of them are minor in the case of those who are refined individuals for the sake of Allah. You have a lot of people, mashallah, even in our own communities, very refined. Their bad habits are very few, but they're there. Refined, beautiful, they speak well, they have good feelings towards others, they are very helpful, they are genuine, they are people who, mashallah, but there will always be a battle and a struggle to get rid of that one bad habit that is just not letting go. It's not the bad habit not letting go. It's you not being strong. Quit that habit. Come on, we age. Do you know every time you have a little health matter that bothers you because of age, it is a reminder from Allah to say, hey, you're coming back to us very soon. Just develop yourself a little bit more. That bad habit, no matter what it is, those habits in secret that we all have, minor or major, get rid of them. Work on them. You are a human. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which makes mention of the struggle of every single person with something that keeps repeating itself in your life. That's negative. It's negative. You don't need it. Be it the bad way you speak. And you promise yourself, I'm not going to do this again. You end up doing it again. Be it another habit. It might be someone hooked onto pornography, whatever else it may be, masturbation, whatever it may be. And you know what? You keep on telling yourself, I'm not going to do this. And you go back in it. Be strong. My brothers, my sisters, break that habit. You don't need it. Break it. Stop it. It can. It should. It must. And how to break it? Number one, primarily, fulfill your prayers, your 5 daily prayers on time. Start with that. Now, you might say, you know what? I have a habit. I'm wording it the other way around. I have a habit of missing some of my prayers. Astaghfirullah. I have a habit of oversleeping Fajr. Well, what did I say earlier? To build a good habit, you are going to need dedication. You are going to need to be pushing yourself hard. Get up, force yourself, make sure. Look at those who now frequent the gym, for example. When they started, it was a mission. Once they got used to it, they cannot let go. They cannot let go. But when they started, for the first almost 40 days, you must be dedicated. And after that, make sure you don't allow yourself the free time to think of the bad. The free time to think of, oh, to miss the bad habit you had, because it gives you temporary pleasure. It's not long term. When you miss a salah, temporarily you might feel, hey, my sleep was nice. But then you start realizing, hey, What did I just do? Astaghfirullah, I'm a Muslim. I don't want to name the bad habits, it's embarrassing. But some of us are struggling with these habits for a long time. Cut it, stop it, it's going to come to destroy you, it will come to bite you. You wouldn't like to die in that condition, may Allah protect all of us. So what do you do? Be strong. Push yourself not to do it. Now, where does the 40 days come from? Let me explain. Allah Almighty creates us in stages. When you were a little cell in the womb of your mother, 40 days later, there was a different stage. Another 40 days later, a different stage. Another 40 days later, the soul was blown. So initially, you are just a clot of blood. Then you're a piece of flesh. Then there's bone, subhanallah, and the organs and everything develops in another stage. Then the soul is blown and then you grow and you are born. 40-day stages. So it is said that that is indicative of the number of days required to break a habit. Solid. That's why if you come for salah with jama'ah, takbiratul ula, which means the beginning of that salah, you make sure you are here 5 minutes early. You have ensured that for 40 days you didn't miss even one. It becomes easier for you. Second nature, I will be at the masjid. I'm going to fulfill the prayer. Today we talk about, let alone the masjid, just fulfilling the 5 daily prayer. Because there are 3 things. One is to go to the masjid. The other is at least to fulfill them. And the third is a person who's not even bothered. So at least get to the stage where you are fulfilling the 5 daily prayers, come what may. But you will have to push yourself. You must. Once you do that, you become more conscious of Allah. Sometimes you have a person, they have a very bad habit, they know it. They are struggling with a habit that they grew old with. And they fulfill 5 daily prayers. You won't believe that this person has this bad habit. They won't. They themselves are embarrassed of it, but they keep going back. They keep going back. They keep going back. You know what? You need to be strong enough thereafter to say, I don't want to do it. So what's the next stage? The next level, once your salah is in order, make sure you have good company. People you talk to who remind you of Allah. People in your circle whom, you, when you are with them, you actually feel so good and you are not reminded of sliding back into that bad habit of yours. Cut it, chop it, man. Subhanallah. You can do it. You must do it. You will do it. Yes, you are a human. So, whenever you've slid back into the habit for some reason, quickly come out, recollect. Promise Allah, I'm not going to do it again. If you fall again come out and promise Allah you're not going to do it again. When you come out of it 10 times, 20 times, do you know what will happen? The gap between you sliding into that habit becomes bigger, which is a big achievement. A person hooked onto pornography, for example, may Allah protect all of us. It damages the mind. It damages the system. It reduces a person to rubble and beyond. May Allah forgive us. If you have managed to protect yourself from that, you're a real, real man. You're a real woman, real man. Protect yourself from that. If you slid, quickly come out and say, no, never again. Stop it, chop it halfway. As soon as you remember, say, no, cut this. What did I gain from it? Zero. Nothing. It's actually harmful. And then when you come out of it, do not allow another trap of shaitan to overtake you. What is it? Shaitan makes you lose hope. He makes you think, hey, I did something so bad, now Allah won't forgive me. It's too bad. Too bad. There is nothing for Allah that He will not forgive. No. He will forgive you, come what may. All you need to do, repent again. You fell back, repent again. So what will happen is, the gap will increase. When the gap increases, mashallah, a day will come when a long time will pass and you still didn't go into it. The same can be said about smokers. Sorry to say this. But the same can be said with that. You want to quit a habit. They say old habits die hard. I promise you, if there is dedication, determination, you can quit it right now. You'll never ever go back. You love Allah. You want to die a good death. That habit, chop it, cut it. I've said this a few times already today, to chop and to cut. Because it's a fact. If you really want to cut something, you can. So don't pity yourself and say, no, you know, I'll try. I'm still okay. So, no. As we get older, number one, the bones ache. Allah is saying, hey, you're coming back to us. Number two, your vision starts blurring. You're coming back to us. Number three, another bone aches. Some organ is not functioning at its optimum. That's Allah telling you it's about time. I'm giving you a gift to remind you. You're coming back to us. All you need to do is improve. If you pass away at a slightly older age where you've already developed yourself and come closer to Allah, it's a gift of Allah. It's a gift. A person who passes away after a terminal illness is much more gifted than someone suddenly who's just gone. Because why? They had the time to repent. They had the time to turn to Allah. And guess what? If they didn't, they have none to blame besides themselves. That's a loss. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Allah says, didn't we give you life long enough for the one who wanted to take heed to take heed? And didn't we send you the warner? The warner. Obviously, the warner primarily, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to warn us also. But beyond that, the Mufassireen have said in this verse, the warner is just your gray hair. Your gray hair. You start seeing nowadays, people get gray hair at 19, 20. It's like Allah saying, hey, the environment is so bad. Come on, 19, 20, start waking up a little bit. And then subhanAllah, you have more gray hair. Allah saying, you know what? That's a sign you're growing older, not younger. If anything, you must develop. You don't get worse. Some people, as they develop, they become worse. Why? Because they saw money. They saw authority. They saw a little bit of power. After they were a little bit older, they got an opportunity now to say, let me do what I want. Hang on. Don't do what you want, do what Allah wants. Yes, enjoy yourself. No one is saying no, you are on earth to worship Allah, but Allah says you're allowed to enjoy within what is halal. That's it. Whatever you want, you can have for as long as it is not displeasing to Allah. That's it. So this is what it is. As you grow older, Allah gives you. Imagine if everyone was extremely wealthy at the age of 12. There would be a disaster, because when you're struggling with your hormones and your emotions and everything, 13, 14, there'll be chaos on earth. The teenagers, you know how they are. They feel like they are the kings and the bosses of the globe. They can do anything and everything. We've all passed through that stage when we thought it was us and only about us and nobody else, until you quickly realize you are just one. You are just a number. Your life, my child, has not even started. It has not even begun. So calm down. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And you're only 14. Your life hasn't started yet. The pens are only beginning to come up and write, because that's what's happening. Let's calm down. My brothers, my sisters, old habits die hard. That's a saying. And it's true. But as Muslims, dedicate yourselves to Allah. Sit and count your habits. Look at your bad habits. Look at what's bogging you down. A small thing hidden between you and Allah. Let's work on it. We all need to. I need to. You need to. Like I say, the level of it differs from person to person. I don't need to know your mess. That's the beauty of Islam. You don't know my mess. I don't know your mess. But there is a mess both ways. Remember this. There is a mess. Islam is unlike others who might ask you to come to the religious man supposedly and confess to him what you did. No. Allah says, don't even announce it. Don't even talk to about it to someone else, because when you start spreading the sins you are involved in, you normalize it. Imagine you tell everyone, hey, I do this, and the guy says, well, I do this and this and this as well, and everyone starts hearing this is what's happening. They say, well, if everyone's doing it, let's do it. What did you do? You normalized haram. That's what's going on today on the globe. Everyone wants to advertise. They say, I know I'm a Muslim, but you know what, I drink, or you know what, I do this, or a little bit of weed is okay. And they start normalizing things that the religion prohibits. Why? Because you advertised it. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, people will continue to remain upon goodness and earn the mercy of Allah for as long as they don't commit open sin and they're not proud about their sins. You committed a sin, the first thing you need to do, admit it's a sin. Allahu Akbar. Admit this is sinful, and then keep it hidden. Respect yourself, keep it hidden. Then turn to Allah, ask Allah, oh Allah, I regret what I did. I shouldn't have done this. I seek your forgiveness. I won't do it again. Once you say that sincerely, wallahi, it is wiped out. Now shaitan comes and makes you say, it can't have been that easy. You're not forgiven. You can't just be forgiven like that. Allah says, don't doubt my mercy. Do not doubt my mercy. You're a believer. You sought forgiveness. It's forgiven. But now improve yourself. Change. Make a change. So let's watch our tongues to begin with, my brothers, my sisters. Let's talk about it. That's why I've decided to address it here today. Let's talk about it. Watch your tongues. People are picking up habits from you, and we need to work on our own bad habits. More than that, be polite, respectful, build the habit of salah, build the habit of reading the Quran every day, a small portion. You might say it's hard. Start. 40 days will pass and you'll see you get used to it, mashallah. And then don't slide back. Like I said, and I promise you it's an example many of you would know, like I said about the gym. When you start and you've actually improved your health a little bit and you go on a regular basis, you will feel so, so let down if you haven't gone. And you feel, hey, I need to get back into this, man. I was feeling so good when I... If that's the case with your physical health, don't you reckon spiritual health is more important? Don't you think that far more important than your physical health is your connection with Allah? Come on, I'm not belittling this. But I'm definitely telling you to prioritize. That's what it is. If someone is unhealthy, but they are so good in their relation with Allah, they stand a chance of success in the dunya and the akhirah. But if someone is extremely healthy, but they have a distance between them and Allah, we will tap them on their shoulders and say, my brother, my sister, come, let's walk together towards Allah. May Allah Almighty help us and elevate our status. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we've been blessed in so many ways. Right now, as we speak, there are brothers and sisters of ours across the globe who are struggling. Spare a moment to make a prayer for them. Spare a moment perhaps to reach out to them in one way or another. I sit and I watch what's going on with the floods that are happening in parts of the globe, Pakistan, some parts of Afghanistan, some parts of India, etc. Really, it brings tears to the eyes. These are our brothers and sisters. And in fact, even around us, there are people living not too far from us who are also struggling. We reach out to them as well. Minimum is a prayer. Minimum is a word of hope to them to say, Allah is with you. Allah will open your doors. Allah will grant you. A word of hope, a word of goodness. You don't ever just come to someone who suffered a loss and say, that was the punishment of Allah for you, and you walk away. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's a moment of turning to Allah. That's not what you say. Even if it was the punishment, you can bring them closer to Allah in a beautiful way. But if by giving them a word of hope, to say, don't worry what's lost, let's build what is to come. Not everything is gone. Let's build what is to come. And in that way, guess what happens? And I will end on this note. In that way, Allah will grant you protection from similar calamity, number one. Number two is, Allah will help you in whatever way He wills and wishes when you yourself fall into some sort of calamity. Because you were concerned about the ummah. May Allah Almighty help us in every way. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.